With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Assalamu alaikum.
Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar. I am working with Brother Imam, and I'm sending him as a host for the show today with Imam Alpha Muhammad. He will be with us shortly. And, we'd like to open up by saying, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we open and bear witness and testify to the whole world that there is nothing worthy but God and God alone, whose proper name in our holy book is Allah. We bear witness that Muhammad, the last of the prophets that was born 1,434 years ago in Saudi Arabia, Mecca, he's the last of the prophets, he's the seal of the prophet, and he's the messenger of Almighty God Allah. So we'd like to greet you, the beloved audience. Well, assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. I think we're going to have a pretty interesting show today, because we have a couple of guests, and Imam Alpha Muhammad will be with us today. And but as before we get started and with our guests, I think the Imam can hear me. I want to ask the Imam a couple of questions to get this started. But Imam, are you on?
Yes, sir, I'm on.
Oh, how's all brother, you know? Ramadan Mubarak.
Salam, Ramadan Mubarak, non-Muslim audience, peace be on you.
Brother, man, I got a book here called Muslim American Society, A Quaintest Package for Community Progress. And this book is laying out the orders and instruction of Imam. They called it A Quaintest Package for Community Progress. And it says, the introduction goes like this, brother, ma'am. It says, this package is designed to acquaint the new and existing member with the purpose of the Muslim American Society, that's what we were calling it at that time, and its current service-oriented program. While this present package is not a full view of Al-Islam proper, we pray a secondary purpose, which is to have a purpose-driven mosque, will be served satisfactorily. In addition, our purpose is to articulate and carry into practice the contemporary vision of our leader, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. We believe the example we find in the Quran and the life of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will serve as a guideline to drive the mosque to community progress. Once a clearly defined purpose is enacted by community members, then Allah calls the community to grow through them in a balanced way. Now, Brother Imam, I'd like to, could you address this issue? Because I know that you was back at the time in the Imam, and you was working with the Imam when he started a lot of these programs that is much needed to be brought to the attention of the community right now, in the time and the situation that we're living in, because this acquaintance pack is very interesting, Brother Mel. Are you familiar with it, Brother Mel?
You know, no. In general, I'm not. But if you would just brief me on that, I probably have seen it. But you know, with so many things taking up the brain cells, can you acquaint me more with that, Brother Mel?
Yes, sir. Because the reason why I'm saying that, this is what you're doing, Brother Man. When I read this package, this is what the email is saying. This package is designed for us to go out and work in God's cause to bring the people this is what one of them is, the Muslim American Society, the monitoring team. They had a monitoring team and the purpose. And this is the purpose that Imam said for this, Brother Imam. He said, the ministry of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad has three primary areas of focus. The first area of focus is the proper worship of Allah by all members of his association in his broadest sense. First, this means open declaration that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Next, it includes formal prayer 5 times per day, the giving of regular charity, fasting during the blessed month of Ramadan, and making the pilgrimage to the Holy House in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Second, the membership of our society are to be bringers of glad tidings to humanity, as was our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is to be completed through the establishment of Islamic centers and houses of worship, servicing the public through Muslim journals and other written materials, and the use of all forms of contemporary electronic media. In addition to worship and education in a formal sense, dawah or propagation of what we are to do in the world is our priority. As members, we are to want the good we have, ourselves for others. Now the third, because of the love we have for Allah and his messenger, we seek to serve humanity. The ministry of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad has several service-oriented programs to serve and alleviate burdens from our community and the general public. And then it goes on with the Ansari program, Clara Muhammad School System, the Collective Purchasing Conference, the Pledgers Club, the Buy Your Back Brick Certificate Program, and the Moscow Project. American Muslim Society Annual Convention, New African Convention.
Yes, Brother Imam, I'm now familiar with this.
Yes, sir, I know you. It
had not come to mind, but now I'm familiar with it. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, I know you would be, Brother Mel, because when talking with you, it's amazed me some of the things that you, I thank God that I'm blessed to be in your presence a lot of times. We'll be talking because, you know, a lot of times God brings things back to your mind that you don't normally be focused on or talking on. But I'll be hearing you bringing me some things, man, and telling me the things that Imam Devadi Muhammad have said. Even though I wasn't in the, you were there. These things were said to you when you were directly in the presence of Imam Devadi Muhammad. Now, I've never been in the presence of Imam Devadi Muhammad like that, but I can bear witness that you're telling the truth because I've read many of these things that you be relating to me. And the question you said you be asked, that you have asked email, I have read these things many times in the transcript of email, W.D. Muhammad. So could you bring us up Brother Imam?
Yes, sir, I will. And I want to thank Allah, Almighty God, Allah, for you, because I'm also honored to be in your presence, too. You see, true believers attract true leaders. Hypocritical, and I'm Imam Muhammad. Hypocritical people attract hypocritical leaders.
Yes.
Phonies attract phony leaders. And when I see sincere people, persons such as yourself, particularly among the leadership, that I mean, you know, people may not know this, and the community should know this. You were the first lieutenant in Patterson, New Jersey, and was a part of the leadership that saw that of getting a name mark. That meant something. See, you just couldn't get a temple in honor like Muhammad's leadership without getting a certain number of FOIs, a certain number of MGTs, a certain number of also treasures had to be up to date. So this was structured. So, you know, people may not recognize, and I think they should recognize, as I have recognized, your leadership. Now, I haven't answered that. I want to now get to this, to some things that you said, matters the rubber that you said. One is the people in our community need to know that Imam Muhammad had a focus, and his focus was to remake the world. First, remake the world of the Nation of Islam. Secondly, to remake the world of the African-American people. And thirdly, to remake the world of America. And I think I did just say al-Islam, because the Islamic world had been dead. The African-American people were brought here to be made dead. And it's just by the grace of Allah that we are not completely dead. But we have to talk about the retardation factors that have entered into our lives. We have been made to be retarded. We're about 35 to 37 years behind. See, if we had developed the CPC, we wouldn't be talking about our stimulus program, because the CPC was a collective purchase council. program conference, which was to create jobs and create an economy. I was with Imam Muhammad the day that he started that program. In fact, I just stayed in Newark in the hotel. I was just reacquainting myself and coming back into the leadership. And Imam Muhammad said to us, if I plan to see the African, he said, I may be an old man. He said, but the African-American people, he didn't say the Muslims, the African-American people will be stood up. He said, I'll stand up and be able to salute that the African-American people is pretty well established. He laid it out. Now, in reference to this monitoring thing, that was not the language of Imam Muhammad, monitoring. The wrong people got old to this idea, and they named it that. Every time we come up with a good effort in this community, the rotten hypocrites step forward. I have to say these things to people. Some people may find this very difficult for me to say this. I find it painful, but I have to be truthful. Imam Muhammad told several news reporters that the people are with me, the leaders aren't. So when we talk about Buy the Brick campaign, we should have had a center in Chicago. Reverend Shuler was one of the most important religious leaders in America. Came to Chicago, and Imam Muhammad had to go to an immigrant mosque to receive him because we didn't have a decent facility. But being the magnanimous Prophet Muhammad type, he didn't only invite himself to that meeting. This was after 9/11. Reverend Shuler told Imam Muhammad, I want to stand with you because I know the kind of man you are. I know what you stand for. And Imam Muhammad invited Farrakhan. They had to go to the Villa Park Mosque for a decent facility because our leaders failed to build for Imam Muhammad the kind of center that we should have. That's number two. Number three, we should have had by now a first-class school system. He looked at about 2.5 million of us in this community. I mean, they are there. If those 2.5 million people sent $200, we would have 500 million. People don't know that Mosque Cares paid for people's mortgages. I know pioneers, I know officials whose mortgages was paid for by Imam Muhammad's ministry. This is a structure. Imam Muhammad gave $85,000 to Nelson Mandela. He's given money to many, many people, African-Americans, and that's what John Belaid Muhammad did. John Belaid Muhammad had given large sums of money to African-American leaders, different NAACP. So we should know that we have a leader who has been concerned about social issues. So I'm glad you brought that acquaintance package to my attention, and I'm glad that you brought to my attention some of the goals. I've forgotten the Buy Your Brick campaign, which essentially went nowhere. The people didn't know anything about it. It was never promoted by the leaders. And again, that these programs are promoted. But the following that was following Imam Muhammad, the following that was supporting Imam Muhammad was people in every city in the United States. They would come out to when Imam Muhammad spoke, and then they would go back into their homes and never to be seen again because they didn't trust the local leaders. They didn't trust the local leaders. The trust in the local leaders had gone down even in the Nation of Islam. The majority of the Ahmadiyya Muhammad's followers was in the streets. And remember what the Ahmadiyya Muhammad said, my best followers in the street. And the truth of the matter is the best followers of Imam Muhammad are still in the street. They have not yet mobilized our population. Does that explain to you, Brother Imam?
Oh, man.
Wow. You're right. Yes. Hey, ma'am.
We could reconnect it.
Please stop the noise. Yes, Brother Imam.
Everything got reconnected.
peace there. Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. I can hear you, but can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Now I can hear you. I was waiting. We had momentarily cut off. So I hope I answered your question. Did I answer your question?
Yes, sir. I was asking you, Brother Imam. The Imam, he was laying out, he said, the Moscow's project is planned to provide a nucleus for the growth and development of a Muslim American neighborhood. He said it will consist of 1, mosque and school, 2, social celebration banquet hall, 3, mosque community employment service, and 4, the Moscow store. Now, Brother Man, you was talking to me about all of these things, ever since I've been with you and working with you, all of these things that you have in your plan and to try to really get our people to see is that and come and support and bring these things into realization. Especially number 3, Brother Man, it's a mosque community employment service. Could you elaborate on that employment service, Brother Man, that idea?
Certainly can, and I tell you something. You know, we used to be told, and you remember as a first lieutenant, we used to say the Temple of Islam is the first employment office. And I remember when I came to New York City, I didn't have a job, and in 2 days I had a job. You know, people came from the public schools of New York looking for teachers. And in fact, a brother named Brother Jeffrey Ninex, now known as Siraj Wahaj, and I and the others were given a job immediately. So that's one thing for the external. But secondly, it is to bring the better minds together so we can create jobs. We have plumbers. Why don't we have a major plumbing company in each of these cities? We can get service contracts. We're in for a maintenance fee. You would get your plumbing services taken care. Number two, a mosque cares employment center would be responsible for hiring our people. We have people even can get jobs overseas doing work. So there's a lot we can do if we come together and implement the Imam blueprint. In other words, Imam Muhammad's whole program, it's all of his teachings, his even understanding and explanation of all the rituals. Everything the rituals is telling us is how to develop a highly functional, civilized society. It's none of it is spiritual. Everything is on the ground.
Yes, Brother Man, I'd like to bring something else to your attention. And being that we're coming up on and this is the Ramadan, this week is Ramadan session. But the convention that is coming up, in the Netherlands, the Imam in this booklet said Muslim American decide the annual convention, and this is what the Imam has to say. It said Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad has established an annual convention each year in the first week of September. This convention is designed to update the Muslim American society through a state of the community address given by Imam Muhammad. It is also designed for business, education, and family fun. It carries with its fellowship and the building of social alliance with other faith groups. It said the annual convention has a main site which prevalent rotates around the United States each year. In addition, it has regional activities in viewing sites. The New Africa Convention Center. The Imam said the purpose of this center is to provide our association with a place to convene our annual convention and other meetings. It will cut our expenses and provide revenue for our community. All adult members are asked to donate at least $200 to this effort. Now, Brother Imam, could you share with us your position on these conventions? Because it seems like now we're having a lot of conventions to come up. And I don't think that's exactly what Imam W.D. Muhammad's idea. And reading what I have just read here, I know that you are aware, because you was assistant Imam Muhammad of Masjid Haq with the planning of this convention that is coming here to the Meadowlands. So could you share some of your understanding and enlightenment, enlighten us, Brother Imam, about these conventions?
Thank you so much, Brother Imam, for that question. Yes, I am one of the co-chairs with Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad of Masjid Haq of the annual convention, the 23rd annual convention. And I'd like to give a background of the convention. The original convention of the Nation of Islam was the Savior's Day, and we all gathered together there. At one time, it was a three-day affair, and then it went to a one-day affair because the Honorable Muhammad did not want to burden his followers. Imam Muhammad held his on Labor Day, and he told us at a meeting, a private meeting of just imams, that he wanted to push the idea of labor in there, healthy labor. And he quoted from the Quran where Allah says that, there's never a time that I'm not engaged in it in a marvelous creation. And science bears Allah witness that there's constant creation taking place, galaxies that we never heard of. Well, and then Allah goes on to say, I am a worker. So you too work in your place. And he said that there's another time that he's not involved in a marvelous creation. Imam said that's what the imam should share with our people to encourage the dignity of work. You have to understand who we are as African-American people. Work for us has been slavery. In fact, most of us, when we go on our jobs, we say, I'm going on my slave. Because we've been forced to work for other people. So now Imam Muhammad brings the idea of Labor Day. When most people are just getting drunk and having barbecue, he's calling for us to come and build a community. Yeah. See, this is the difference. Now, what is this convention all about? This convention is our government, an opportunity, and it should be so big that we should be bringing people by the tens of thousands.
Right, Brother Man.
And we should be coming together. The people such as you, the great salespeople, should come together and teach the less skilled salespeople. And then we have the brothers who know how to do plumbing. They should be convening about how to build a convention center. We could do like the deal with witnesses. You know, we could build a convention center. I know I'll be willing to go in and haul concrete. I'm mostly a laborer. I'm not a skilled laborer. But I would be willing. I know you would be. We could build a convention center almost overnight with the kind of people we have among us.
That's true, brother.
So, Brother Imam, we just have to understand that Bilal woke the prophet up late. But he said, nevertheless, called us alive. So we may be late, but we have to get on the job of building a community, and we must build a convention center. Now I'm hoping and praying that this will be the biggest convention ever. Now, in reference to others who are holding conventions, every time Abraham would dig a well, the Satan would come behind and fill it up. And that's what they're doing. Yes. All these other conventions is nothing but a way of opposition. And Allah told us not to stand in any masjid that would not be built on taqwa. I wouldn't go to any other convention that is not built on taqwa. Brother Imam, I just have to excuse myself on the mic. Would you continue to talk to our audience until I come back? Thank you.
Yes, sir. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful being. We are listening to Religion Mean Align with our beloved Imam Abu Muhammad. And I am moved by Shia Akhtar. I'm working with Imam Abu Muhammad and trying to rebuild or bring about all of these wonderful ideas that our beloved leader was blessed by God to bring to us. We are Muslim here in America. We are not terrorists. We are Muslims that obey the Quran, obey the life example of Muhammad the Prophet, whom the Quran was revealed to, this holy month, what we call Ramadan. And we are followers of Imam Wahdati Muhammad more than anything else.
Charging. he's on. And we lost it.
Hello?
We lost the connection now. Yeah, because the phone keeps going off. Oh, man, the board is lit up, too.
Yes.
See, this thing is...
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Imam. Brother Imam?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. Peace be on our audience. Brother Imam?
Brother Imam?
I'm coming. Yes, sir. Can you
hear me? Sorry. You can hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we keep getting cutting off for some reason, Brother Imam. You know, like when the Imam used to be talking, this happening. The Imam be saying, we lighten up that airwaves, man. I think that's what we're doing, but we lighten it up with truth. Brother Imam, I was saying this before I was cut off. Is how Imam W.D. Muhammad, he has been blessed by God to be born from a people that has been shut out in every quarter of this here American society to prevent us from having our rightful place under the sun. Now, we have been struggling for a long, long time up from slavery, and we have not we had not been able to put together enough insight and sight to see exactly and put our hands exactly on the problem of playing the solution that was really, really needed to get us over the goal line until the leadership of Imam Muhammad was given to us by Almighty God, Allah. I think that the Imam W.D. Muhammad, Imam, I heard the Imam say this, Brother Imam. Imam said, there is no African-American leader in the history of our people that God has been with more than Imam Walter D. Muhammad. Could you speak on that, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, because it's the reason being is the culmination of the 400 years, but also Almighty God is merciful, and he's a gradualist. He's not a revolutionary. God doesn't operate in a revolutionary manner. He doesn't butcher people. He gives it processes. In fact, the Quran is called ayats, stages. And so God has culminated in the world as we know it. Now, we're not talking the physical earth. The earth hasn't done anything bad. The moon hasn't done anything. But
right,
the world as
right.
we know it is ending. So God would send his most potent weapon in the end of time. And who is the people that's most qualified? The people who have lived up to their duty. It has been the African-American people who have gone through a monster chamber and still have come out like Dr. King, Howard Thurman, Frederick Douglass.
Yes,
all these people are saints. The average person, if they had one bruise like we are, would be a monster. And I don't want to cite anybody in history, but I know a lot of people have gone through little light pain, got slapped in the face. You know, they may have lost a few people, and they have turned into monsters. They treated other people worse than they've been treated. Well, this is the deal. So we maintain our humanity, and God bless us with a leader in W. Dean Muhammad. Because Imam Muhammad is the culmination of all of those good leaders, men and women.
Yes.
Of all our people, and he is establishing us in the promised land. Now, what has happened is during this month of these last 10 days, which is to be released from hellfire, we're in hellfire because we have failed to hold on to his hand. We have failed to make
right,
our leaders man. Responsible. So we ask God, please, to forgive us. Have mercy on us because you have sent to us a chosen leader. And just as Imam Muhammad said, only $250 from each of us could have built that center. It's not that the people don't want to do these things. We have had impediments. We have had leaders who failed. They would go up to Chicago. They would have meetings with Imam Muhammad. They would never bring any of this back to the people. They always try to paint the Imam that he was spiritual. In fact, it got so bad that I asked the Imam one time. He asked me, so how was the people perceiving it? And I told him they perceive you as not being on the race question. And I could see the pain in the Imam's face. He said, how could they think that? Race is a big problem. They wanted to paint. Let me just, Brother Imam, may I have 2 minutes?
Yes, sir. Go ahead on, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. No, you're the host, so I respect leadership, and you're the host. So here's what happened. When Imam,
right ahead. Take your time, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. When Imam first came in office, the leaders of American society was excited.
Yes,
they didn't know which direction he was going in. And during the year 1975, he was actually on CBS News, on Walter Cronkite, a reporter by the name of Randy Daniels, who took that story and became famous, became the Secretary of State. He became Secretary of State of New York. He made his fame interviewing Imam Muhammad. Nice African-American brother. And one day I hope we could have Randy on our show. But the people look, and when he opened the doors and said anybody could come into the temple, not knowing the fact, the people not knowing the fact that there were already Caucasians that had been allowed to join.
Right.
You
right,
know the brother from Patterson, New Jersey, were allowed to join the Nation of Islam. A Caucasian,
yes,
100%
yes,
Irish man. Wrote to Amalaka Muhammad a letter, and Amalaka Muhammad said, let the brother in. Now, why am I saying all this? When Imam came that way, they painted him first as an Uncle Tom when he picked up
right.
the flag. But instead, Caucasians in America heard him condemning the evil forces in America. They joined on with him. And so the Imam said from that point on, they decided that they would blank him out like he didn't exist. And they began to support Farrakhan and promote Farrakhan. And Farrakhan was with us until 1977. And inside forces and external forces pushed him, told him, with him being a weak person, he left us. Okay. So then they blanked Imam Muhammad out. And meanwhile, inside of the mosque, they were telling the learned, the people with a thirst for Islamic language, I suppose, they were telling them that the Imam moved too slow. And meanwhile, they were telling the ex-officials and the laborers that the Imam was moving too fast. They have torn, pulled at this community, grabbed at his legs, hit us in the head, and we are still here. And brother,
yes,
Imam, if I live the 5 more years and get the support like we're beginning to get, every program, every structure that Imam Muhammad advocated is going to come back. It's going to come alive. We're going to make sure the Benton Centers, not only in Chicago, that we have a halal zone with factories producing our own meats. Why should I have to go and buy sausages from somebody else? Why should I go to ShopRite and ask them to forgive me halal meat when we are the ones who founded halal meat? Huh?
Yes,
why
sir.
Should I go when we got farms down south? If we did it in the past, we can do it again. And we are not going to stop till we establish new Africa. And after we establish new Africa, we're going to take old Africa and bring her back. Because my wife was in a beauty shop the other day, and she watched some African Muslims watching a voodoo movie. And they were excited about it. And they could see in her eyes that she was repelled and repulsed about it. So we got to wake up the whole African people. And we got to start by building institutional life among ourselves. After you get up from the salat said, was salihat, what aminu, what aminu salihat. Believe and then do good deeds. What are the good deeds? Build new Africa.
Yes, sir. Brother Imam, man, you got me. The genes is jumping, Brother Imam. Brother Imam, you know, you said something. I remember Imam W. D. Muhammad was saying about Minister Farrakhan and his leadership at that time. He said that Minister Farrakhan had came to him and said, Brother Imam, I would like to go back and try to get those people
that I believe did not quite understand the direction that you were going in, Brother Imam. That's what he told Imam Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said, this is what Farrakhan told him. So I'd like to go back and try to, you know, get those people that might not understand the direction you were going in. You might have moved a little too fast for a lot of those people. So the Imam listened to him, and the Imam said, he told Minister Farrakhan, no, Minister Farrakhan, it's not that I moved too fast for you or any of those people. It's that I moved too right for you. Huh? That's what the Imam told me, he moved too right. Mm-hmm. Because this is what happened, Brother Imam. The Imam said it was one of them big ones came to him and told him, said, Brother Imam, I see where you're going. If I had known that this was the direction you were going in, I never would have put forth to you. The Imam said he didn't say it out of his mouth to him, but he was thinking in his mind, that's the reason why I didn't tell you. And this is what has happened, Brother Imam. When now that we're reflected as grown people, Imam, we have grown up community now. We're grown up community. The body of Christ. With Imam said, we're the body of Christ, I'm the head of that body. Now we have grown up. We're grown up. And when we look back and reflect and see what have hindered us, those obstacles and things that have been thrown in the way with people that we thought were sincere and dedicated to the leadership of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, now Almighty God is separating and revealing these people because they can hide themselves. They have hidden themselves thoroughly among us, and they are planted. And they are intending to never let us to succeed or be successful behind the leadership of Imam W. Muhammad. That's why I appreciate you, Brother Imam, and any man and woman that has a position in their heart, soul, and mind that you have taken. I've been working with you on a regular basis, and this is what I've been longing in my heart, to be able to get with people of like mind and like spirit, and right understanding that focus behind the leadership of our beloved leader, Imam Wahdati Muhammad, and keep his legacy alive. Because this is another tool that they use to pretend to get the people with. They pretend that they're going to keep the legacy of Imam Wahdati Muhammad alive, and the only thing they're trying to do is establish a legacy for themselves. If that's what they want to do, that's all right and good. But don't take the innocent followers of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. I heard the Imam tell when he was going to have the youth convention in Atlanta, Georgia one time. So the Imam, I think he called it off one time. But then the Imam said to these leading Imams, he called some of them names. He said, I know that you have robbed. You have took some of my followers from me. And the Imam said, but that's all right. That's all right because I know that you love me. Now, I understand what the Imam was saying there. Because, see, Brother Imam, in his last Ramadan session with us in 2007, the Imam specifically told us this here. And he said, where do you find the shaitan? He said, in Scripture. He said, where do you find God? The Imam said, in Scripture. So the Imam said, listen to their language. And their language would tell you who they are. That's key, Brother Imam. That was an instruction given to us by our leader. He said, listen to their language. And their language would tell you who they are. So those sincere-hearted Muslim men and women that sincere support the leadership of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, the Imam told us then at that session, he said, you phonies, you fake, you phonies, you cannot come among the believers and fool the believers because we hear you. And I think that this is the day and time we're living in more so than ever, Brother Imam, because all of these programs are coming up on the radio and everything, and I hear a lot of these so-called leaders that have been around for a long time. But if you listen to their language, Brother Imam, you can clearly hear that these people is trying to take the people away from the leadership of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. That's why I support you, because I hear you and you feeling the same way. We ain't going to allow this, Brother Imam. Our life and our death is all for Allah.
the Lord of all the world, and we support the leadership of Imam Warth Adi Muhammad wholeheartedly.
Yes, sir.
So, Brother Imam, I appreciate this information that you're giving, because you were talking to me earlier. Brother Imam, now, you have been around in the nations. Now, what do you think about all of these good programs when the Imam had told us that hold on to the good, hold on to all the good that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought to us. We just don't get it. We just gonna not use that those things that was not really halal or all the way Islamic. Now, Brother Imam, in talking with you, could you share with us that, what do you think about when we were having a temple meeting on Wednesday, Fridays, and Sunday? We were having it 3 days a week. And in this package here, the Imam said we should at least be coming out to the masjid at least or once or twice a week. He said I would suggest 3 times a week. Could you expound on that, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. I'm going to, if you would allow me a moment to just reflect on Mr. Farrakhan.
Brother Imam, take your time. Please do.
Yes, I want to tell the people, see, I'm not talking about something that I don't know. I don't speak of things,
sir,
I don't know. I don't like that.
Sir,
I was trained by the Ambulance Bomb. In fact, I was trained by my daddy. He was a very much of a person that wanted facts. You know, if you brought to him a case, so-and-so now, but my nickname was Now, he said, you said Now, then you get off your proof. My dad was probably a frustrated judge because he judged us. So I was already predisposed with facts. So when I talk about Minister Farrakhan, these people, I know these people. I know them well. I mean, I don't know them all from the television. I've worked on Minister Farrakhan's staff. We know each other. We have talked over the years. He knows me. I know him. I love him. He loves me. So what I'm talking about is nothing personal. I'm talking about positions. Minister Farrakhan and all of the ministers of the Nation of Islam knew al-Islam, and they were taught, including Malcolm. They knew about Mecca. They knew about the Quran because the Ahmadiyya Muhammad facilitated them knowing this through his son, the Imam Muhammad. In fact, most of the ministers, when they came to Chicago, when Imam was in Chicago, minister then, he was the minister number two. They had to report to him. Many times they came to Chicago and said they saw the Ahmadiyya Muhammad. The person presiding over the minister's meeting was Minister Wallace T. And in fact, by Esanu Udom. It's called Black Nationalism in America, The Search for Identity. He quotes the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as saying, telling the ministers, if you cannot see me, see my son Wallace. So I knew these facts. They know this fact. They know they were taught, all of them not to make the Salat. They knew Arabic. I heard Minister Farrakhan call the Adhan in the FOI class in New York City in 1972, June 1972 at FOI meeting. So these men, none of these are ignorant men. They all knew, and they all knew that the Ahmadiyya Muhammad said, the next one coming on after me will even teach the truth about me. And I know this to be a fact. Imam Yusuf Chow told me this. He said that he was with the Ahmadiyya Muhammad one time, and the Ahmadiyya Muhammad pointed to a picture on his mount, a figurine on his mountainpiece at 4847 South Woodlawn Avenue, where his residence and headquarters was, and told him, said, Captain, look at that. He said, I don't see nothing. He said, look at it. He said, that's Muhammad, and I'm just wearing the name. So all of the top officials, and even many of the lieutenants in Chicago who left us or are still with us, knew of the Ahmadiyya Muhammad's intention to bring this community to a full Islamic community. Now, Sister Anna Shabazz, one of our learned sisters and historians, she provided with me a copy of a Muslim prayer book. And later on in the broadcast, I'd like to hear from her. She provided me that prayer book. I think it was 1959 or 57. The Ahmadiyya Muhammad had produced a prayer book showing us how to make the ritualistic prayers. So these leaders knew. They knew that Imam Muhammad was going to bring us into al-Islam and that he was not going to throw away any programs. They deliberately did what they're doing. And you right. How you going to teach the people that's a Juma? We still need men's classes. We still need sister classes. We still need to have community night. We still have night where we have cultural night and amateur hours where we can socialize and be with each other. They are deliberately doing what they're doing. And therefore, we're not going to fight them. We're not going to struggle with them. What we're going to do is show alternatives to them. We don't have, the imam told us, the leaders of AMCOP and other group, Creed, he said, you don't have to meet in a mosque. Rent other spaces down the street from them. So let them do what they're doing, and we're going to compete with the best glass of water.
Yes.
To show the people what the real community like, and eventually those places will be liberated.
Oh, Brother Imam, I love you, man. See, we are supposed to be, Imam said, religion means sincerity. Sincerity. Now, I have had conversations with other people that is aware of what you're saying, but it takes moral courage, Brother Imam. That's what the Imam came in. He had that magazine called Progressive Magazine, and that's when he came out with that terminology, moral courage. And that's when Farwell tried to pick up it and made like David. They the one that present the moral courage, the true minority majority. And Imam said he's a minority because he was the one that brought the terminology or that idea to the American public or mind of being. We had this country needs people with moral courage. Now, Brother Imam, I appreciate what you're saying because see, coming up through the Nation of Islam. All of these things that got us to where we at today, Brother Imam, I have never felt that it was a hindrance to me. When I came to the FOI class, I'd be working, Brother Imam. Me and friends of mine, we would be up in Connecticut. I had the keys to the temple, and I had to be back at 6 o'clock. I'm up in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I'm up in Harlem. I'm down in Murphy. Brother Imam, don't you know God would bless me to make a pocket full of money, man? And give me enough time to get back to Paterson, New Jersey, and get on my post. I would rush back home, put on my suit, me and Brother Inspector Jesse, and we would go down to the temple and inspect the building because we were written from some Christians. We was downstairs and they were upstairs over us, and it was their building, but they rented us a space. And man, we would rush back, and we would have to go and check out the building. You know, to make sure we ain't being sabotaged, no bombs or nothing like that. Back there at that time. Then eventually, God blessed her through the leadership of Minister Robert, Captain Hezekiah, who Pasha over there, his wonderful wife, Sister Lieutenant Phyllis, and all of those honorable, noble FOI, Brother Benjamin, who was the secretary. Brother, man, we saved our feelings and we got together and we bought that building right where Pasha is at right now, Muhammad Masjid of Paris, New Jersey. We wrote a letter, but the officials, Brother Minister Roberts, the Secretary of Virginia, and Captain Hezekiah, they wrote the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and asked him to give us a number. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us the number, Temple number 76, Brother Imam. So I looked at that, I said, look at here, man. I said, Jesus Christ had 12 disciples. And he was the 13th one, meaning leadership. I said, his leadership going to have to come up out of Paterson, New Jersey. And I'm part of that leadership, Brother Imam. I've seen that then. And I'm sure enough going to be part of working to bring about what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had in his heart and what Imam Wahdati Muhammad had in his heart all the way back to our ancestors that was in slavery, had in their heart. They had in their heart, Brother Imam, to clear up this false idea that this white world has put on us that we was a nobody people, that we were the lowest of the human race, that we was lazy, we was shiftless, and we did not know how to handle our own affairs. I know that that's not the truth because if they can hear people like you, Brother, now, if they can hear imams and leaders like you talking, and there's people that are talking like you. But I'm talking about right here in New York and New Jersey. We need people talking like you talking, Brother Imam, that is not afraid to get up and meet the challenge. We are not through yet. That's what the Imam W.D. Muhammad said in one of his main Ramadan sessions in the convention, he came up with the title, We Cannot Stop Now.
And I read they had an article in the paper a few weeks ago where the email said we don't need no keeps having no new beginnings. The email said we need a finish, and I think that's what you're working on, Dudley. Now I think you're working on finish, bringing about a finish. But that's what I'm attracted to when I hear you talk. Now we keep talking about we got to bring in something. No, we don't need nothing new. No. The email said we don't need to keep bringing in these new. No, yes, we need to. Come bring it to a finish, Brother Imam, because we got the tools to work with. We got all of these programs that Imam have established. Now, all we have to do is implement those programs behind the leadership of the Imam and the manner that he introduced these programs to us. We don't need people coming up imitating these imitating programs to take you away from the real program that Imam W.D. Muhammad have given to us as a community. And I thank you, Brother Imam, and I appreciate your continuous strive in that El Musta King behind the leadership of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. That straight path behind the Imam. That we know that God has made the Imam an example for us and for any people that is put in a situation like that, that God is the one that delivers you. God is our Savior. Imam said, Malcolm X was our Savior. The honor night, Muhammad was not saved. He wasn't a savior. Only way that these people can save you is by God's permission in working through these people and bringing you to the attention of what God's plan and what God's strategy and idea is for you as his human creation. And God says that he made all the children, sons of Adam, honorable and noble. And the Imam said, any Imam, Brother Imam, that is not focused on this here statement that was made to the world by the Caucasian slave master, that we was a nobody, that we were three-fifths of them, that they tried, this is what he said when he was talking. He said, brother, now what I'm getting ready to say is directly to you, brother. He said, they assaulted our manhood. Amen. I said, this is what they done. This world has assaulted the manhood of the African-American people. And then burst us in front of our women and our children, man. Brother, man, we can't stand for that. And I know that spirit's in you to eradicate this kind of mind. I know that. So Brother, man, I want you to just take your time. Take your time, Brother, man. Because we got a little time there. I want you to speak on your feeling about this is a statement that he may have made about how the Caucasian slave master insulted our soul, insulted our worth as men in the world in the eyes of other people. Could you speak on that, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. I'm going to first answer your first part of your question, which was we don't need a new thing. We just need to finish. See, Frederick Douglass and to some extent Nat Turner, To the extent that David Walker, they all started going home. Imam Muhammad brought us to the Oblate Muhammad, that is, brought us to first base. Now we had people said that Drew Ali that was hitting, also striking. He didn't strike out. Drew made some home runs, but Oblate Muhammad got us to first base. Imam has taken us to second base. And now it's in the hands of the people to come home. See, we're really in the third resurrection. We got the teachings. We've been restored to our masculinity and our humanity. Dr. Muhammad did that. Now Imam Muhammad put a brain in us. See, we weren't even a body. We were spooks.
Right.
We didn't have any form. We were subject to the environment. And yes, that's been an insult to our masculinity. And it's a continuous insult to masculinity. You know, Brother Imam, I feel so great that the last 10 days I haven't watched TV. I don't even want to watch the news because I want to internally go in and listen.
Let me say this. I heard you talking to your little son earlier this day, and I heard you tell him to turn that TV out, don't turn it on, get to the Quran and read that Quran, and don't do nothing until you finish reading the Quran. Then we're going to clean this house up. You do this here, you would never. That reminds me of how my mother. It was 10 of us, Buddy, now, and every one of us had a chore. I had to go out and sweep the yard with what they call a switch broom. I had to go out there and clean. Me and my brother, the one I'm next to, we had to cut the grass. One of us had to go get the coal for the stove, because we had coal stove. The other one had to chop the wood. We had to wash the windows, and we had to do all the things. But each one of us had a special job that was designated to us by our mother. One had to wash the dishes. One had to scrub the floor. We had to do all of these, brother, man. But you know, when I heard you instructing Alpha Muhammad Jr. And my little buddy Joseph, I had to laugh, brother. Go continue, brother, now.
We're preparing them for leadership. And leadership is, first place, you got to have a right mindset. I know that we're competing with Lil Wayne. I know we're competing with Minnie Minaj, or Mary Minaj, or whatever her name is, and Zella, yeah, and all these different people we're competing with. So the best competition is the Quran. God says that he hurled the truth at falsehood brain and knocked it out. So yeah, we have to understand the Quran from the perspective of Imam Debbie D. Muhammad. I don't care if you stay Arabic 1,000 years, you would never understand the Quran the way Imam Muhammad understood it, because God gave it to him. And what God has given, he has not given any other human being on earth. I repeat, you scholars out there, there's no human being on earth has gotten what Imam Muhammad has gotten. So I want I tell my children, look, hey, I don't want a lot of that TV, and if I had my way, I wouldn't have any of it during Ramadan. Study what God says. Study Imam Muhammad's teachings, and that will renew you to get out here and change this ugly world that we have. This is a very ugly world for African Americans. It's an ugly world for human beings, period. But it's very ugly for us. It's bleak. Unemployment in our neighborhoods up at 50%. You know, gun violence, and this is not something that we can't deal with ourselves. God has given us the tool to change it, and the sign was the Nation of Islam with a few followers, mostly uneducated people. We shook the world up. We had Mao Zedong looking at us. We had Zhou Enlai looking at us. We had Khomeini looking at us. Khomeini got the idea America was the devil from us. The Arab Spring came from Imam Muhammad's revolution in the Nation of Islam. We are the leaders of the world as soon as we accept to be the leaders of the world. So I don't have time to play with kids, children, brother. I don't have time to play with adults. It is a serious time. God is changing the world. And we're either going to be a participant in it or we're going to be a victim of it. Because God is going to change the world. He is going to use our community. He is using our community. And that's why I'm urging everybody to urge 10 people to come to the convention to witness what we are doing. Now, I mean, African-American, I want them to observe. Look, if you study, I'm sure one of my nieces was a divinity student and soon to be a preacher. I know, I tell her, I'm not saying to be a Muslim, but study this transformation that has taken place in the Muslim community in America, and also witness us take back the streets as we're going to be doing this Saturday on St. Paul's Avenue in North. We're still on the ground. We're not up in the sky. We're not trying to make people spiritual beings. What we're trying to do is make them human beings guided by God.
Well, amen. Oh man! Every time we get in conversation and things, man, it renews. This is the Ramadan is the renewing of the human being, spirit, his consciousness. Because the imam said, "What make a Christian a Christian?" He said, he asked this question to our community one time. He was teaching us. He said, "What make a Jew a Jew? What make a Christian a Christian? And what make a Muslim a Muslim?" And he hesitated. And Imam said, "What make a Jew a Jew is his Jewish consciousness. What make a Christian a Christian is his Christian consciousness. And what make a Muslim is his Muslim consciousness, brother Imam." And this is what it would motivate you. If you are conscious, and focused on taqwa, the way that God say we should be focused. Because Allah says that the best of you is the one that have that remembrance of God the most, and the one that has functioned constantly according to the taqwa that God put into us. We have to be God-conscious. And the Imam said, if you're not God-conscious, Allah says to us in our holy book that you're dead. You're dead. So the Ahmadiyya Muhammad, he said something earlier, Brother Imam, about how a lot of these members that knew the Quran, I bear with him because I remember I had a transcript, and I was shocked. And all in this book, it was all of those ministers that was replying to Malcolm when he separated from the Honor of the Night of Muhammad. They were calling him a hypocrite. And tell you now, all of them were using Quranic scripture. Even Minister James Marks of Temple No. 25, may God forgive all of them their faults and their sins and grant them the power of saying. They came with some strong quotes from the Quran. And I say, I didn't even know they knew the Quran like this here. But that's what they was using.
So, and you know who talking?
So what
the member minister of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the assistant minister of the Nation of Islam, was Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad. That's
yes,
what we need to know. I know this to be a fact. I was in Chicago. I know that he used to hold the minister meeting. I'm talking about when his father was alive. Sometimes his father would be in Mexico. He had a home down in Mexico. He also had a home out in Arizona because of his asthma. And the leaders had to come and report to him. And, of course, if you were an unproductive leader, you didn't come there. See, this is another
right.
thing we got to understand, that this is about production. See, if you were a big minister, then you met once a month. Otherwise, you met with Raymond Sharif and the National Secretary. If you
yes,
were a small minister, you was unproductive, the Ahmadiyya Muhammad would probably see you 3 times a year. He didn't waste time with an unproductive person. But all
sure
the meetings at the time, the Ahmadiyya Muhammad was not even in town. The man was running this community. So
yes, he was.
The leaders need to, that's why I always tell the people, these are no accidental people. These are not unknown entities. Yes, they knew the Quran, and I got to know all of them, all of the major leaders, because I was in number 7. I was just a soldier. But I would be in the restaurant, and I would see Minister James coming to the regional meetings. I'd be in Chicago, and Allah has blessed me to travel. And I saw them coming, and they said, can we see is Minister Wallace? They had to go and meet Minister Wallace over at the school. You know, we had 55 South Greenwood Avenue. So they met. These leaders been taught. What is now time for the people to do is to form groups, to be loyal, and to take on responsibility, and let's revive this community so we can build a school system, so we can take over the historical African-American colleges that the African-American church has failed, that they can take over and build our senior citizens' home. We should not have senior citizens, not only in the Muslim community, in African-American. We got African-Americans who were fought in the struggle. Rosa Parks was beaten almost to death by a marauder. But guess who went to Rosa Parks' funeral? Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad. She loved him, he loved her. She was a part of the freedom movement. So all these people have struggled in the black nationalist movement. All these people struggle in these various movements. They may not join with us, but they should be taking care of our people. So we need an education, but we also need a strong economic program. And I'm telling you, Brother Imam, I know you're a businessman. People don't know you're a great preacher, but I also know you as a businessman. And we are going to train brothers and sisters to sell, and we're going to get product on you for them to sell, and we're going to get out of this economic hole, and we're going to come home. You know, E.T.
yes,
said
sir.
He wants to come home. So if E.T. wants to come home, who wants to come home more than the Negro?
Hey, Brother Imam, I heard you mention yesterday, so about this girls institute, Hawkins, the name of the lady was Hawkins.
Dr. Charlotte Brown Hawkins.
Yes, Brother Imam, when I was working, when I first started out at the library here in Brownsville, here, where I'm living at on Stone Avenue, the librarian, the lady that was here, she graduated from that. She went to that college, Brother Imam. Went to that college. She was a scholar. I was custodian there. And so, you know, I'm always talking about our history. And then I was in her office. She called me, and we were sitting down, and she started sharing her thought. And she told me how she, because she knew that I was a Muslim, because I would be fasting and everything like that. And she told me that she was a graduate of that college, buddy man.
Yes, sir.
And it brought it back to my attention when you were talking about it. You were using the reference. You were referring to that institution that was under control of African American descendants of slaves. You know, so, brother, man, all of this is goodness that God has blessed us with. We cannot stop now. We don't know how to stop now, and we will not stop until we get our people to where God wants us to go, behind the leadership of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. And I know that's in your heart, soul, to do that, brother man.
Yes, sir. I want to bring to Brother Imam, with your permission, I'd like to have Sister Anna Shabazz, who is going to be the pioneer of the year, if she would come and say, greet our audience, also honored and privileged that she's also my mother-in-law. So
okay.
I want her on and let her just share with us about the convention and about her work that she's doing. She's worked in public housing for years and been one of the teachers of the general civilization class of the MGT. Sister Anna, your own religion means alive.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, Sister Anna.
You know, sometimes it's best just to keep your mouth shut and listen. And that's what I think that I'm going to do tonight, Brother Imam Alfred Muhammad, because the conversation that you and Imam have going is so uplifting to me that I just need to sit here and enjoy it and have it help bring up my spirit. I had a little rough day today. But Allah has most certainly blessed me and been exceptionally kind to me this evening, because I wasn't going to turn on our blog tonight or call up our blog. I was just so down. But I said, well, let me just call him and see what he's talking about. And what you're talking about is so uplifting that you just need to keep talking. You got to keep talking, because if you've got 5 people on or 10 people on, or I know I'm on, and I'm inspired by what you're saying, and I'm going to spread that word so you'll have as many people listening, talking to other people about what y'all talking about. Because what you're talking about is the salvation of the black man in America.
Allah,
the only way
we're
going to be saved is by following the teachings of W.D. Muhammad and his father and staying on the right path and striving to be upright. So I'm not going to talk about the poor people who still live on the plantation called public housing. May Allah bless them and save them one day, that they may all leave that plantation called public housing. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to shut up and listen, because it's not too often that you have the opportunity to hear something that makes sense. So I thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
You can't leave us hanging there. We got to have you back on for a date that we can interview you, because, you know, again, it's important for our audience to know that people.
Okay,
they like.
Well, Brother Imam, you can call me and we can make arrangements to do that. But I just want y'all to get back in your conversation, because I don't want to take up another minute.
Yes, ma'am.
And I know everybody that's listening doesn't, you know, they can hear Sister Anna again. Thank Allah that I'm not going nowhere. Praise be to Allah. So I will be very happy to get back with you. But you're talking about things. You're talking about the history and how it happened and those who was with us, who we thought was with us, who I even thought was with us. You're enlightening me. So I want to hear what you're saying so I can make sure that if I was about to make a wrong turn, I want to stay on the right path.
Yes, ma'am.
And a lot of times you might, you know, it might look good to you. The opposition sometimes will look so beautiful,
right,
and they'll have on such a beautiful facade, and it'll be all pretty and whatnot, and you'll think that's the right way, but it'll be the wrong way. But if you're fortunate, somebody will, as we used to say in the old days, pull your coat.
Yes,
and that's what you brothers are doing. You're pulling my coat.
Yes,
so I appreciate you, and y'all just keep on pulling it, because there are other people, too, who have been misled.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
And we need to get the information.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother,
thank
ma'am, you have a wonderful, wonderful mother-in-law. She done fired me up, man. Hey, brother, ma'am, you know, the honor of Elijah Muhammad, That was a magnificent little black man, man. You know, the honor of Elijah Muhammad had a plan, buddy man. And he left. Can you hear me, buddy man? Buddy man?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me right?
Yes, sir. You know, brother, I was just reflecting on what Sister Anna and the spirit that she has. And you know what,
man?
And well, they're not thousands, but there's hundreds of people. I consider her a leader. Wherever she goes, she leads. We just have to be honest about it. The Lord made some of us to be leaders. Some is above us. So that doesn't mean that they're superior. It just means they got a different job. So I really, really appreciate her in the spirit, because she has that spirit that we had in the 50s. Before
she's a
commercial.
True MGT, brother, ma'am. She's a true MGT.
I
can hear that spirit in her, brother, ma'am. And these are the kind of women that help the African-American black man get through this hard time that we call slavery. It was women like your mother-in-law and that spirit. And she's a courageous woman, and she has stayed with this community. She's still with the community. She has not walked away from the community. These are the kind of women that we thank God for, that was in the community with the Sister Clara Muhammad and had the same spirit. They have the same spirit that Sister Clara Muhammad had in building this in Nation Islam, so that our people could have a refuge to come out of this downtrodden way of life and come into a life that is guided by the correctness of God. I thank you, Sister Anna. I thank you, my sister. I thank you. I thank you. And I pray to Almighty God, Allah, that He give you everything that your heart desires in this world and in the next to come. Brother Imam, you know, sister, I want to take the opportunity to say this to him. You know, when I was studying, Imam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a blueprint. He had a plan, Brother Imam. He had a plan. And God blessed me with this hill. And I used to go throughout the community, and the little kids in my community used to be following behind me, and I had the bullhorn. And this is what I was, and me and Brother Hanif and all of us, we go out on the street up on Fulton and Bedford Avenue, on Nelson and Fulton, and Brother Man, a lot of times before we start propagating or preaching, this is what I would say to the audience. I would say, there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is His messenger. There is no God but Allah. Muhammad is His messenger. Who's the man with the master's plan? W.D. Muhammad. Who's the man with the master's plan? One is D. Mohammed, Muslim American spokesman, Muslim American leader, African American spokesman, African American leader. W.D. Mohammed, one is D. Mohammed. Who's the man with the master's plan?
W.D. Mohammed, who's the man with the master plan? Wireless D. Mohammed.
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. You know, we need that. You know, we used to sing a song called We're Fighting for Al-Islam, and we will surely win. We need those songs back. Culture, see, this is what's going to counteract the 50 cents, the 25 cents, the Lil Wayne, and the Mill Mick Lil Wayne, Big Wayne, if we continue to take this message to the public. You see, Brother Imam, it's very important that they say when you replace a habit, you take a habit away from them. First, you have to give them another habit. We need to be in this language environment of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we may need to translate this language to our public, the general public. We'll make a productive people. You know, we got to come home, man. I'm tired of walking by vacant lots with cars and junk in our yard. When you say the African-American community, you mean ugliness and crime and neglect. That can change overnight if we can get this group model. Not if we're going to get this group model. We are going to get this group model. And we're going to put New Africa and establish it if it doesn't happen but on one block. Just like we had in Newark, we had Chancellor Avenue. You knew that was a Muslim shopping district. If we did it then, we can do it again. Brother Matthew, you still with us?
Do you hear me, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. I heard you. Yes, sir.
Yes, Brother Imam, you said it because you said it. We did it before and we can do it again. And Brother Imam, you mentioned something that I think is very key. And I hope the wise one heard what you said when you said we need a third resurrection, because I heard the Imam say that. The Imam in the Ramadan session, that's in the writing, the Imam said, you know, sometimes, you know, the Imam drops things on us through hints, Brother Imam. And the Imam
yes,
was
sir.
Saying, you know, he said, I think we need a third resurrection. And then the Imam goes on in that same Ramadan session, 2007, the Imam says this is a, and this, when God blessed me to focus in on that and register on my soul and my mind, the Imam said, Muslims get their salvation in threes. Christians get theirs in five. Now, Brother Imam, that's something that needs to be looked at, and I'm quite sure that when you I'm asking you to take a look at that so you can help us to see, help the community see and understand when the Imam saying that Muslims get their salvation in three, and Christians
get theirs in five. Well, you know what, Brother Imam, it just flashed before me. It's a vision. We are going to have a conference. I won't tell you what the name of the conference will be because
yes,
some
sir.
Of these things
right.
are run with it. Secondly, down at the Palmer Moore Institute, we hope to have soon, talking to Brother Dr. Fleming Elamine. He's so modest, he won't call himself Dr. But Brother
yes,
Fleming Elamine. We're going to convene. We have to have a meeting of people like Sister Anna Shabazz, persons like
yes,
yourself,
yes.
all
yes.
of the strong leaders. These are leaders, people who can generate 300 and 400 people. And
yes,
we're going to put together an agenda. And we can present that agenda at the convention in 2013. And I hope we'll have
yes,
a convention next in 2013, 50 to 75,000 people there. And then the next year, in 2014, we will be convening in our own convention center. See, these things don't
have
time for us to do this. All we got to do, the Imam, all this stuff will happen overnight when you get the right people.
Right,
believe
right,
me, we got the right people among us. We got every
yes.
kind of doctor we want. We got every kind of educator we want. We got enough people right now with PhDs to open up 20 or 30 colleges with just Muslims.
Yes, sir.
We would never do that. We would integrate it with our people and good people everywhere. But,
Brother Imam,
and we
I just
have
want to say this.
Technician, all we need to do is call our people to their destiny. Tell them this
yes,
is my, you're
yes,
not building something for Alfred Muhammad. You're not building nothing for Mubashir Akhtar. You're not building
right,
nothing for Anna Sam Shabazz. You're building this because God has obligated you to build this. And that's what we're
right.
doing. God has allowed us to go through this condition so we can glorify him. You know what
yes,
it means for a man who's suffering in the Sudan? If he sees that the African-American slave has now picked
yes.
up,
and build skyscrapers. That would be the sign of the end of time. All the oppressors all over the world would die and choke just to know that this ex-slave has risen up, that he didn't go and beg Saudi Arabia for money. He didn't beg Egypt for money. He went in his own $1.1 billion, $1 trillion. Bill, yes, sir.
Teach, brother, man. Teach, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's
what we have.
You know, that spirit come back in you, man.
Yes, sir. That's what we have.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Brother Man, I want to say that I see where your wife, Sister Fatima, get her spirit from, man. Oh,
yes,
man, you got a dynamite mother-in-law, brother.
Where you get your spirit from? Yeah, she has a wonderful mother. Her mother has...
Yeah, that's where she got that spirit from, man. Your wife,
ma'am,
Sister Fatima, she got a spirit like that.
Audience. I got to explain to y'all where I get my spirit from is my wife. She gets that fiery spirit. So I'm fired up, brother. We're not gonna leave our children a bunch of bills and a sad obituary. We want to leave our children a legacy of building community life.
Yeah, yeah.
God has made us to be
the
owners of America.
Yeah.
We're gonna sit at the tables as leaders, and we are convinced that President Barack Obama is a sign of the new leadership that will come in America, and it will come from slave quarters. We don't care. Look, the Mormons ain't got the right to this country. It is us.
Hey, brother,
for many of 100 years, and we
Muhammad
were
said.
Yes, sir.
The Imam W.D. Muhammad was teaching to us and to the public. The Imam said, I ain't never read in scripture what God says that this country, America, belongs to the white man. Huh?
That's
what the Imam told us. He said, I ain't never seen what in the scripture where God said the world belongs, this world here, this country belongs to the white man. That's what the Imam told him when he first came in office. So that let me know that, hey, we have to get our share of what they call dunya, this part, this world too. And brother Imam, I think that's what this is all about. I think that's what this is what the Imam after Muhammad ministry is all about. Brother Imam, we're going to get our share, man.
Oh, yes, we're going to heaven on earth. We're going to serve a model.
Yes, we are.
You know what? The time of the Abulak Muhammad was a sign, even when Imam was here. Because today we don't have to deal with the hypocrites that he had to deal with. Imam, out of mercy, dealt with those hypocrites. He gave mercy to them. But today, brother, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new batter's up. And, brother, we're going to go to the World Series. And we're not going to
all the way. We're going to be hitting grand slams, buddy, man. That's where we're going to unload the bases, man. We're coming home, man.
We're not going to have the phonies and the weaklings. We're going to get rid of them, brother. We're not even listening to them. We're not going to waste any time on them.
Not at all,
buddy, man. The way we're talking. Because, you know, I'm not teaching the way I want to teach. I'm teaching the way the Imam Muhammad taught. Every time you heard the Imam teach, he was coming home to establish African-American life. And you laid out for us a program, buy a brick, building the convention center. That doesn't sound like a spook to me. That is a leader.
The
man died trying to purchase Chicago Heights so he could show that mom. Housing for the senior citizen. Yes, sir.
This is what Imam W.D. Muhammad was saying in this little package called Muslim American Society, the Quaintest Package for Community Progress. And it said, it started out to tell about the Quaintest Package and the introduction, and then it said, welcome. It said, welcome to the Muslim American Society. That was the name of us that did that. The email said, the constitution and governing body of this community. It's the Holy Quran and Hadith for life of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The contemporary leader of the Muslim American Society, he is Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, son of Elijah and Kara Muhammad. It say in 1975, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad was elected by the membership into the position of leader of the Nation of Islam that was previously led by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Throughout his time of service, he has moved the community into the universal concept of Islam and changed the name to Muslim American Society. In addition, he had led this largest, the PLS, the largest identifiable body of Muslims in America to world recognition and respect by all faith groups and governments as a bona fide humanitarian interest. Right quick before we leave, Brother Mel, could you touch up on that?
Yes, well, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory, but I would just say I'm just going to bear witness to it. That's what Imam Muhammad wanted mosque cares and all those devils who want to boycott it to be a worldwide charity to help, not only do, but to first educate our people. What is Al-Islam? See, the Muslim world is dead. They are finished.
Yeah.
They've been dead for 600 years. How do we know they're dead?
The last Muslim government was Turkey. Did they come over and get you? Did they come in North Carolina and protest the slave trade?
No,
they didn't.
Did they come to Virginia?
No,
I never heard of it. Did they come to Georgia and tell them that you should be holding these people slaves? And they knew for a fact. Morocco,
and they had the Quran.
Huh? And they had the Quran. They hid it. That's right.
Yeah, they had it, Brother Man.
So they're dead. Secondly, we also know that the way that the world will be restored is through us.
No doubt about it, Brother Man.
To accept that responsibility, that just as Jesus Christ was missed, as Muhammad was missioned, we as a people have been missioned. You know, I felt a little bad for about 3 minutes after Imam passed. And then after that, I was over it. You know what? I turned to Allah and I said, Allah, I almost fainted when I heard he had physically passed. But then it dawned upon me that we are Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad.
Yes, no doubt about it.
In our block, in our neighborhood, wherever we are, we have to establish Imam Muhammad. And I am absolutely competing against anybody that is for the good, in a good competition, to see how much work we can do. Like I said, we want to see the paper go back up to 1 million. You and I were talking about that today. We want to see the tapes of Imam Muhammad, and not in just my home, not in just your home, but
every home that we can get them in America, man.
Who earned it. You know, we want to see the CPC revived.
Yes.
Firstly, to buy suits from overseas. And then, secondly, we can put up factories all over in Pennsylvania and over on Pennsylvania Avenue, wherever we are. You know, we want to build blocks of factories and put our people back to work. And we can do this. See, you know, it's not like we can't do it. We've done it in the past. In 90 days, Brother Imam, you were part of the campaign that I was. And you led them, and I was just a follower. We got the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, an airplane, in 90 days, and still met all our other obligations. The Honorable Muhammad used to make a major acquisition almost every year. You think we're going to slow that down? No, we're going to speed that up.
Yeah,
we got modern equipment. We didn't have the modern equipment before, but we are going to push. But what we need now is for people to be committed. Next week, we're going to go on a major fundraising campaign because we want to take this broadcast to the public. We want to put it in tens of thousands of people's homes because we know we will transform this.
Yes, Brother Mel.
I didn't mean
Mel,
to preach.
We're getting ready to wound down a little bit. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We're getting closer to the end of the show. But, Brother Mel, you know the singer, Joe Tech, Yusuf Aziz, I think that's his name. He came to Newark one fourth Sunday. And, Brother Mel, he raised $26,000 within a few hours. And Newark, chopping number 25, I was there, Brother Mel. He raised $26,000 for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now we can. Don't you think we can do this? We can do this, Brother Imam. We can do this. We'd like to say, name the days, we put our hope, the right minded belief. We come together and put our resources together, Brother Imam. We can build these things overnight. What you're talking
overnight.
About? We can do it, Brother Imam, and we gonna do it. No doubt about it.
Yes, sir.
Brother Imam, I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity for hosting the show. Man, I'm telling you, Brother Imam, Ramadan, this is the last 10 days, and we want to remove ourselves from the hellfire of God's permission, and we ask God to bless all of us that has taken Ramadan, and we ask God to bless the sincere followers of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the sincere followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the fulfilled follow of all the prophets that God has sent to humanity down through the time, that God would unite our hearts as he said he would do in the Quran, and we would put a heaven on earth for all people that believe and have faith in God and believe in the life after, Brother Imam. Brother Imam, I want to thank you. May Allah continue to bless you, your ministry, and bless your wonderful family, and bless your mother-in-law, that we can come together again. We're going to come together again. And every time we come together, Imam said, God going to be with us, and Almighty God going to be in us. So, Brother Imam, I want to thank you. May Allah bless you with a continuous, wonderful Ramadan and all the listeners. May God bless all of you that are practicing Ramadan, that be successful, and you have a complete Ramadan, and you will be more closer with your Lord. So we thank you, and we greet you with the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, Brother Imam.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Assalamu Alaikum to you and your family and to all our radio listening audience. See you again tomorrow on Religion Means
yes,
a Lie. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Imam.
Assalamu Alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.